So we discussed a little bit about the mitzvah of tzedakah, which would have been tonight's topic. So tzedakah is a very unique mitzvah. I guess you could say that about many mitzvahs, but since I'm talking about tzedakah, I'll use it for tzedakah. But in terms of, on one hand, I'll give you the parable of the Vilna Gaon, a fist. When you have the fist, everything looks the same. So tzedakah looks like a regular mitzvah, same for everybody. But when you open up the fist, the different fingers are all different sizes. Because to show there's a personal element to tzedakah as well. There's some general rules, but obviously depending on a person's financial situation, other situations, the mitzvah of tzedakah will be a lot different for the two. So on one hand, it's very personal, tailor-made, but also we'll see, you know, there's some general rules for everyone. So tzedakah is mentioned many times in the Torah, and it's mentioned in Devarim in chapter 15, verse 7 and 8 and onward, and also in Vayikra, Perech of Hay 35, but we say, like it says, Pasoa tiftach es yadcha, you should make the nani stand. And then we have negative commandments. Don't close your heart. And don't close your fist. Don't close your hand when they're looking for tzedakah. Don't close your heart. So tzedakah is unique in the sense that it has both an aseh and a los aseh. It has both there's a positive commandment to give tzedakah, as well as a negative commandment not to give tzedakah. So you get a mitzvah of forgiving, as well as you get an aveira for not giving. So what exactly is the relationship between when you have one mitzvah which has an aseh and a los aseh? What wins? So, you know, that you'll have to wait for Sunday morning when I go into discussion on that, maybe Shabbos. Now's not the time, but tzedakah will have to answer this up in terms of what is the role of the aseh and the lav, the positive and the negative. So let's move on. So what does the Torah say? As a result of giving tzedakah, you will be blessed. Ki biglal hadavar. That's the pasuk. So the Gemara in Shabbos learns from this pasuk. What does it mean, ki biglal hadavar, from a wheel? That Gemara in Shabbos tells us, poverty is like a wheel. Eventually it happens to everybody. It happens to all families. You know, some families might keep it for a couple of years, a century, maybe a couple of centuries. I canceled my Toronto. So I moved back to Tuesday. But back next week we're back on for Wednesday.
Oh, you canceled tonight's class because of the weather? Is it snowing?
I don't know, but I canceled it anyway. I go Rabbi Half standards. So I have to make the call at 2:00, so I'm not gonna project what it's gonna be tonight. As I like to paraphrase, better to miss tonight's year and be able to give many more than to give my last share tonight. That's the way I look at it. So we know many families are wealthy for many years, but eventually the wheel hits them, the wheel of poverty. Every family eventually, you know, it might be a long time from now, but everyone's going to need tzedakah. That's what the Barbanello writes on that pasuk, ki beglal hadavar, that what is the purpose of giving tzedakah? He says the purpose is, because it's very strange. The pasuk says there will always be poor. Like the pasuk says, so many sociologists or psychos, whatever, would say, what's the point? And the whole point of giving tzedakah is to stop poverty. If you're not going to stop poverty, what's the point of giving tzedakah? So what does it mean? The Torah tells us there will be poverty. There's still going to be poverty. So that's what the Abarbanel says. That, you know what? a person might say, what's the point of giving if there's always going to be poor? So Abarbanel writes, let's say a person was an usher, a person's wealthy, a Rockefeller, a Ford, whatever, and says, you know what, I have many, I'm making up a plan for my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. As they say, the difference between the wealthy people, you know, the people up north, so you know, you have professionals making a nice salary. But the people down south, their job is not to blow it. And when they already have the money, their job is don't blow the fortune for the next generation. So, but eventually they will. But you know, hopefully not for a long time. So the Abarbanel says, if a person's wealthy and everyone's taking, you say, what's the point of giving tzedakah? I'm never going to need tzedakah from anyone else. So that's what the pasuk's coming to tell me. Yes, you will. Everyone's going to need tzedakah. You might not need it now, but eventually your descendants are going to need the tzedakah. And in fact, that's what Rashi writes. When Yaakov calls in Yosef to make sure he gets buried in Eretz Yisrael, he says, give me a chesed shel emes. So what does he say, a chesed shel emes? So it's the ultimate chesed. You're not waiting to get paid back. You could take your time paying me back. You know, while you're burying someone else, you say, it's okay. No rush to get paid back on this one. You can pay me back in many years to come. But it's something that, so usually when you do a favor for someone, whether it's in the front of your mind, whether it's the reason, your motivation, or whether it's in the back of your mind, you know that you're thinking payback. Don't worry. I know I'm counting them up, and it's time I come to him. He owes me big time. That's why the phrase people say, when someone does you a big favor, and so they say, let's say I do you a big favor. So you say, thank you. And I say, don't mention it. Don't mention it means you still owe me. Don't think the thank you is going to cut it. So therefore, you know, that's just a... So that's what they point out here. They point out that the ultimate... So normally, when you have mitzvah ben adam l'chaverom, interpersonal relationships, it's reciprocal in nature. That basically, that's not necessarily the reason to do it, but basically... I do a chesed, I dance in your chasana, you can dance in mine, or I take care of this because you'll do that for me, etc. Usually, you know, I have an obligation to do to help you out, you have an obligation. All mitzvahs b'adam l'chaveiro are payback. It's, you know, I have an obligation to help you out. I'm not saying that doesn't have to be a reason why you're doing it, but I have an obligation to help you out. You have an obligation. Usually when you do a chesed, it's based on, okay, well, you do the same for me. So, in fact, that's why Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that's the reason why my Iker Hadin, strictly speaking, we're only chayav to give tzedakah to a Jew and not a guy. Why? We'll see, as you'll see, for another reason we have to give tzedakah to Gayim also, but Me'ikar hadin, why do you have to give to a Jew? Because pashtus, a guy is not chayiv in giving tzedakah. And the luck is, I'm only chayiv to giving tzedakah, someone who's obligated to give, not me per se, you know, if I was poor, or if that person was poor. But someone who, you're only chayiv to give tzedakah to someone who's obligated to give tzedakah to you. It has to be, it's reciprocal, it has to be, that's mitzvah v'am ha'chaveiro. So, according to most opinions, a guy is pater from tzedakah, meaning he's not obligated. There's a Ran in Sanhedrin who writes that a guy is chayiv in tzedakah, even though it's not in the Sheva Mitzvahs. But any mitzvah which is logical, a guy has to keep as well. So, notwithstanding the Ran's opinion, we'll assume a guy is pater. So, if you assume a guy is putter in tzedakah, that explains why Me'ikar Adin, you wouldn't be chayiv in tzedakah. Because tzedakah is, any mitzvah that I'm a chavero is, I'm chayiv to help you and you're chayiv to help me. If you're not obligated to help me, then that wouldn't be b'toras. There might be other reasons to help you, as we'll see in a second, but it wouldn't be out the mitzvah of tzedakah. So that's what the Abarbanel is, that's what the pasuk is telling me. Don't worry. eventually poverty is going to hit every family. And therefore, you're going to need tzedakah. So usually, that's what the pasuk means. You give tzedakah, you'll be blessed. But in the end of the pasuk, that you have to give tzedakah because since you might need tzedakah one day, that you personally, your descendants, or you know, your great-grandkids, so therefore, I'm chayav in tzedakah. However, the Rambam adds that there's another reason to give tzedakah. So that's the classical reason of tzedakah. I don't like this bench, it keeps on shaking back and forth. It's giving me a headache. So the Rambam writes, the classical tzedakah is, you know, it's payback. But there's another reason to give tzedakah. The halachta bedrachav. We emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, just like God does things, He helps us out without any payback. He's not looking for payback, He's not getting any payback. So too, we have to do also chesed for the sake of chesed. So mitzvahs ben amachaveiro, that's because I have a chiyuv to help you, you have a chiyuv to help me. But independently of that, we have another mitzvah to emulate God. It is like God does things without any thought of a payback. So too we do it. So therefore, to the mitzvah of tzedakah, of payback, that we don't have to, there's no mitzvah of giving a guy, because the guy has no mitzvah to give us. However, regarding the mitzvah of emulating God, the rachamav al kol masav, God has compassion on all creatures, even afilu behemoth, even animals. And therefore, we have a chiyuv d'oraisa, we have a mitzvah in our Torah to help out a non-Jew as well. Just like we have a mitzvah to help out an animal if it needs help. However, the Rambam points out that the Gemara in Gittin, which says, Mefarnesin aniye akam im aniye Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to give parnasa to the poor of the Jews. When you're giving tzedakah to a poor Jew, you should also give to a poor, you also have a mitzvah to give to a poor non-Jew. So what is that mitzvah? We already said it's a mitzvah in our Torah. The halachta bedrachav. So what's the Gemara telling me here? So this, to the Rambam writes, this is only a rabbinical injunction. What do I need a rabbinical injunction if there's a biblical one? No, so what the Gemara is talking about is an old day avodah zarah, an idol worshiper. So when do we say v'racham ala kol masav, that God has mercy at all? That's if people who don't sin. So a behemoth doesn't sin, a behemoth can sin. But someone who's worshiping idols, a human being can sin. And therefore they point out that that's what it's coming to. Even though there's no mitzvah in our Torah to give a old day avodah zarah, an idol worshiper, but it's a takana drabbanan to give tzedakah to a non-Jew. On this point, this is a machlokas. What does it mean? When do you have an obligation to give tzedakah to a non-Jew? What exactly is the nature of the chiyuv? So there's a further dispute between the Ran and the Mordechai. What does it mean when the Gemara says you have to feed the aniyei akim im aniyei Yisrael? You have to feed the poor Jews with the non-Jews. So some say it means if you're walking down the street and you're giving tzedakah to a non-Jew and there's a non-Jew right there, then of course you have to give them, else it's going to cause hatred. But let's say this time you walk down the street and there's only a guy there, you don't have to. That's an old day about a zara. That's someone who worships idols. That's the machlokes on. But if he's not an idol worshiper, there's a mitzvah in our Torah. So it goes like this. Really, the mitzvah of tzedakah is a mitzvah in Amal Chaveiro, because you're chayef to help me, I'm chayef to help you. So that's a din d'oraita. That's for a Jew. For a non-Jew, he's not chayef in the mitzvah of tzedakah. According to the Ran, if he is, then he falls into the first category, maybe. But the second mitzvah, if it's not reciprocal anyway, the halachta bedrachav, that we have to emulate God. And the third halach is a din drabanan, that even old day of Avodah Zarah, we have a mitzvah midrabanan to give them tzedakah, either only if they're collecting together with Jews, or even if they're alone. Reminds me of a story with Ivan and Yiddo. Pity, remember that one? Ivan and Yiddo. You need a reminder, so I'll give it to you. Ivan and Yiddo, because we're talking about when a Jew and non-Jew are collecting together, to remind me of Ivan and Yiddo. Ivan and Yiddo were two beggars. Ivan being the non-Jew, Yiddo being the Yid, as the name suggests. So they're good friends, you know, they used to go begging together, and they enjoy each other's company, and sharing the good stuff. So Yiddo said, you know what, Ivan, I've come to know you over the past couple of months, I'm going to do you a big favor. There's a Jewish holiday coming up. It's called Passover. Not Easter, that's with Purim this year, Good Friday. But Passover, you know what? I want you, you put on some nice clothing, you go into the synagogue, you may believe you're Jewish, you sit there with the sitter, you do a lot of shaking, this and that. I guarantee you'll get an invite, you'll get to have the best meal of your life. And that was, so, about a month after Passover, Ivan meets Yiddo. So Yiddo expects a big hug and kiss and how much you love me. Instead, Ivan starts cursing him out. What did he do? You hate me? What was that all about? Yiddo said, what are you talking about? What happened? Let me tell you what happened. I did what you said. I showed up in shul. I had my nice clothes. I was faking it back and forth. And you're sure enough, I have many invites. So I looked at the guy with the nicest suit. I took his invite. I figured he'd get, you know, the richest guy. I have the best food. He took me back home. Beautiful mansion, nice home. 5-bedroom with 3 bathrooms. A nice main floor. Double ovens. The whole works. I knew I had it. Hardwood, the whole dray. Walk out deck, walk out basement, need I go on? You're getting the picture here, Ivan, or Yiddo. So, and sure enough, I get there, great, Gavaldik, a cup of wine they give me. You know, they mumbled some words, who cares? I drank a nice cup of wine. And then they bring out the little, like, you know, appetizer, had a little cucumber I dipped in the salt water. You know, okay, that was fine. Okay, then after that, I'm sitting there, 20 minutes. What? They're sitting there like praying back and forth. There are guys, these young ones asking questions. Everyone showing off what they learned in school or what they didn't learn in school, what's depending from which vantage point. Not into that movie yet. So, and they point that. Then finally, now I'm starving. I'm wondering, like, what's going on here? So finally, after about 2 hours, they go in the kitchen, they wash their hands, and they bring out this flat piece of bread. I think they call it a matzah or something. No taste. At that point, I was so hungry, I didn't care. I gobbled up the matzah. Then finally, they came out with this nice big vegetable. And I took a big bite out of it. And I figured they knew I was a guy. And I just took off and ran away. So, you know, says, Ivan, if you just would have waited 2 more minutes, patience. The meal par excellence was coming, and she just took off some, you know, part of when you have a part of a meal in Judaism, the education. But that's what reminded me of Yiddo and Ivan. So that's the halacha. So we have a mitzvah in our Torah of giving tzedakah. How much do we have to give? Good tzedakah. That means we have to give $100,000, give a dollar, a penny. Not a loony, but I'm saying, I guess the U.S. money, even though the loony is over $1 these days. It was over $1 today, I think. I always say I'm the exchange money now. I never do, then it goes back down. It goes like this, how much? So, you know how much? The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Shlish HaShekel. A third of a shekel. It's a very small amount. I'd say a shekel is about, you know, depending on the silver or that, let's say about $2.53 US. So a third of that, like $1, let's say I'm making up the numbers. So if a person gave $1 a whole year, they fulfilled a mitzvah of tzedakah. That's the minimum amount. That's the fifth clothes. It's all the same. That you give him. In fact, the Shach who lived in Vilna during the 1600s, he lived during the massacres over there. He points at a very interesting minhag. When in Vilna, he says, "See, we have a minhag that whether it's Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, someone comes around with the pushka, and we give money, and that's based on the pasuk in Tehillim that if we give tzedakah, that you know we're showing you know that if we have mercy on others, God should have mercy on us. That's how we do it. That's our minhag to give, but we give every day and before every tefillah." The minhag in Vilna was only on Sheni v'Chamishi, only on Monday and Thursday, they used to give tzedakah. What's that based on? So the Shach writes that, you know what it is, because the smallest coin in Vilna, let's assume what we call the penny. If a person would give a penny twice a week for the whole year, they'd reach a shlish ha-shekel. They get the minimum. So therefore, the meaning was that people gave the minimum amount. So therefore, even if they never gave another cent to tzedakah, they fulfilled the minimal obligation. So that's the minimum obligation. It's a shlish hasek. Obviously, it's like the fingers. So that depends how much, if you can't afford to give tzedakah, if you're an ani hamisparnes, if you're someone who is a poor person, even a poor person who goes around collecting, he also is chayef to give a shlish hashekel. Let's say he doesn't have it. So let him go to another ani. Let Ivan and Yiddo could do it together if Ivan was Jewish. Give each one a shlish hashekel, and then they'll get their money back. So they point out that that's the minimum amount. But of course, every person has a different obligation. If you can't afford to give, you don't give. But if you can't afford to give, so then you have to give as much as you can afford. So the pasuk says, "Asher to Asher." So what is? So we know. So you're giving tzedakah is just a shlish hashekel. What about giving meiser ksufim, a 10%? What's the story of giving 10%? You know, you hear the 10% rule, you know. You have those in the financial books, the 10% rule. Take out 10% of the money you make and put it away. Tzedakah or the 10% rule? So, I'll get into it more, but just to answer your question, let's say a person makes $10,000 a year. So 10%. So let's assume they tax you $1,000. Obviously, they don't know about Canada. They tax you $3,000. So let's say you make $10,000 and you pay $3,000 in taxes. Do you have to give tzedakah based on the $10,000 or the $7,000? So we assume on the $7,000, not the $10,000. There's a further discussion. What about but then I have to live. So maybe have to minus my food, my rent. We'll get into that discussion. Then maybe they'll owe us money after we take off enough. But so it goes like this. I think she went into the other room. I guess she'll be here soon. I saw someone walk by. So that's what the halacha is, that they point out that the minimum is shlish hashekel, but a person has to give according to the means. So they point out that, I guess these guys really want to get it in. They must enjoy what they're doing. Like there wasn't like any snow like to really shovel. But they say, how long could they use their excuses to go around on those cars? I know. When I think March, then the buy rules have to stop. So the minimum amount is to give a very small amount. But depending on how much money you make, then you have to give tzedakah according to your needs. Maybe according to the poor person's needs. But again, so if a person can't afford tzedakah, so then, if a person can't afford to give 10%, of course, you give less. Now, you know, we'll get into the details later. So where does it come from, 10%? So there's a pasuk that says, aser ta aser. Asir means tent. Asir is a double language. So what do we learn out from the double language? Asir ta'asir. So Rabbi Yishmael says nothing. I know a lot of people say we learn nothing. He says, what do you mean we learn nothing? Because Lashem b'nei Adam. The Torah is just right in the way people speak. People, you know, we double our language sometimes. It doesn't have any meaning. We pass it like Rabbi Akiva. No. The Torah double language, we learn something. So in fact, one of the drushes the Gemara learned is, you know why? It's the ultimate in selfish tzedakah. It's the ultimate in being selfish. Asher b'shvio shetis asher. You know why you should give tzedakah? To become rich. So if you take off tithes, if you take off tzedakah, ma'aser, God will make you wealthy. So it's a very selfish reason to give. So besides helping the poor person, you have a very good selfish reason to give tzedakah. But from here, the Gemara learns out, I should say the Sifri, in Parshas A, learns out, in Tosfos and Tanya, Daf Yud, that from here we learn out, there's a biblical mitzvah to give 10% of your money. That's how some learn. The source is when they used to have produce, agriculture, they used to take from 10% of them and give to the Maisa Ani. So those who learn that Maisa Ksafim is a biblical law, they say it's the same halacha as Maisa Ani, as it was when they had to take tithes off the field. Others say it's only a rabbinic obligation, it's not biblical. It's nothing to do with tzedakah, it's just a din, it's nothing to do with Maisa, it's not a real din, it's just telling me a share of tzedakah. The minimum amount is a very small amount, let's say a dollar, but the measurement of tzedakah should be 10%. And the third opinion is it's not only 10% is not a biblical obligation, it's not a rabbinical obligation, it's a custom. It's a pious custom to give 10%. There's no obligation to give 10% of your money to charity. It's just praiseworthy and recommended, but it's not an obligation. In fact, the Imre Yoshe writes, the first time one gives tzedakah, they should say bui neder, without a vow. Because once you start doing a good custom, a custom becomes a law, it becomes like a neder. And you have to undo your vow. So therefore, the first time you do it, you should say bui neder. Like the Beis Yosef writes, in terms of in general, when we wash our hands in the morning, how far do we have to wash? So it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says to the knuckles. Rashi says to the wrist. So really, we pass them like Tosfos, but we'll machmir like Rashi, except for on fast days like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to wash our hands. So then we just go up to the knuckle. So what the Beis Yosef writes, when a person washes his hands up to the wrist, he should say Bui Neder the first time. Therefore, when it comes to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, he'll be able to only wash up to the knuckles. But that's what the Imre Yosha writes, that if the first time he gives tzedakah, you should say bui neder. So I have three shittas. Whether giving, one opinion is 10% is biblical. The second opinion is 10% is rabbinical. And the third opinion is neither biblical nor rabbinical. It's only a pious custom. We'll get to different practical differences later. So the question is, something unique about tzedakah is normally we're not allowed to test God. There's a biblical prohibition, lo tenasnu, not to test God. You know what, like, by testing God I mean is you say, you know what, if I'm going to do... So there's a prohibition of testing God. You know what, I'm going to put on tefillin this morning if God makes me rich or if God makes sure I'm healthy. Well, I'm going to give this shear now if God does this for me. You're not allowed to do that. You can't test God. That's a biblical prohibition. However, there's an exception to the rule. We like exceptions. The exception is tzedakah. You're allowed to give tzedakah and test God. Say, in fact, the Gemara says in Pesachim, a person's allowed to say, God, or actually even says, one who gives tzedakah, let's say his son is very sick, and he says, you know what, I'm giving tzedakah because I want my son to get better. Hareiz et tzadik gomer. The Gemara says you're a tzadik. That's a separate thing. What's tzadik, right? But either way, but the Gemara says that by tzedakah you can do it. So that's the only time you're allowed to test God is by tzedakah. You can expect things in return. So that already is a further dispute. What could you expect in return? So some say anything. Others say it's limited to money. You can't expect health. It's only more. Why money? Because we said, Ascher b'shvil shetisasher. God promises us if we give tzedakah, he'll make us rich. So that's it. We're just basically asking God what he's saying is going to happen. So everyone agrees you can certainly demand, you can make, you can test God when you give tzedakah, especially to get money back. But this is a further discussion. What about giving to what does it mean giving tzedakah? Does it only mean giving to poor people? Well, let's say giving to a hospital, giving to yeshiva, giving to another good cause, but it's not poor people. Is that considered tzedakah? That's a further dispute. So on here you have a machlokes achronim. So whether, you know, the Rama writes this halacha about the allowed to test God for tzedakah. However, this Rama is working. The Rama assumes, like the Maral, that giving tzedakah is a real din of tzedakah. So he's saying it's a real din of tzedakah, like they took off agriculture, they took off in the field. And therefore you can test God. Rav Yaakov Emden says, today, our mitzvah tzedakah isn't tzedakah. It's a form. It's not the real din of ma'isa ani. And therefore, it's not real tzedakah, and therefore you can't test God. So that's a further discussion about, you know, testing God or not. So, there seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that on one hand, he says you could do, he seems to say by tzedakah there's no shear, but then he says tzedakah there is a shear. So when it comes to money, so then there is a shear. When it comes to helping out other people, baguf, that's no shear. But what is the shear of money? You can't give more than 20%. Well, see, there are exceptions to the rule, but you can't give more than 20%. Why? Because shema yistarif. Because perhaps you'll become an ani yourself. And therefore, you can't give too much. That's why, in fact, there's a famous, from the Geres Teiman, the Rambam, when someone was asking him, they wrote a letter to him about whether there was a false Mashiach going around. That was the question, whether it was a false Mashiach or not. And the Rambam was in Teiman, so he couldn't, how did he know if the guy was false? So he said, give me some of the simanim, give me some of the signs. So this Mashiach says, you should give all your money to tzedakah. The Rambam says he's a false messiah. It's usher, you can't give all your money to tzedakah. Or else you'll be back on tzedakah. There's only a certain amount you give. In fact, there's a further discussion is you're not even allowed to give, you have to leave some money for your kids. It's a discussion, you know, your kids, your wife, your family. There's an issue not to leave. You can't give away all your money to someone. I'm donating all my money to cerebral palsy. Or this, you can't, it's usher. You got to leave your kids some money. Also, you know, how much you have to leave, that's a separate discussion. But there's a separate halacha of, you know, leaving money, leaving Yerusha. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. One place the Rambam says, it's usher to give 20%. Another place he says it's a mitzvah to give more than 20%. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in this Avas Chesed, if you live in a small city and you only have like 5 aniyim and this and that and all the poor people are taken care of and you have no one to give your tzedakah to, right now there's no one to give to, so then then you should take out of your money 10% and put it away. You can't take away 20%. There's no one here now. That's when the Rambam writes, you can't take off more than 20%. But let's say you're ready, you live in a place like New York, Toronto, people are always coming around for money. And therefore, that the Rambam says, you're even allowed to give more. Because if people come to you and they need, people are coming to you for money, and you, of course, assuming you can afford it, so then you can give them. In fact, that's one of the questions is, when is it permitted to give more than 20%? So, number one is, if you're an ashir muflag, if you're a multi-billionaire, if you're a multi-billionaire, we're not afraid you're going to become poor. Others say, no, even an ashir muflag can, but we assume he can. Because the guy's a multi-billionaire, we're not worried about him becoming poor. Others say, if he wants to give his money before he's about to die, obviously he's about to die, he doesn't have to worry about becoming poor. Obviously, he better make sure he's actually dying if he's going to do that. And others say, let's say he does it, I want to give money because I sinned when I was younger and want the money to be an atonement for me. Or I want to give money to support the yeshiva so I get reward in their learning. That's okay. So in those situations, you can give more than 20%. But in the normal case, you can't. So they point out that when is it? So we know on one hand, we said there's a mitzvah tzedakah of giving a shlish ha-shekel, a very small amount. And then there's a further halacha, whether a biblical law, rabbinic or custom, about giving 10%. So what exactly does the prohibition of not giving? There's a pasuk in the Chumash that says that don't close your heart, don't close your hands to someone who comes around for tzedakah. So when exactly does that apply? You mean, so every time someone comes to me, I have to give them? Every time someone comes to my door? So obviously, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But do I have to give them? Is there any... So is there a way out? So there is a way out. I might say, if you can afford it, then give them. But I think they say over Moshe Feinstein, it wouldn't help anymore today, but twice a year he used to go to the bank and get dollar bills and fill up 2 shoeboxes. Every time someone came, he used to give them some. You don't have to give someone a lot, but he wanted at least give someone something. So, if we could, the Gemara says we could thank the fakers of the world, because there are a lot of phonies out there collecting tzedakah, so therefore maybe this guy's not a real guy, so therefore I don't have to give everybody. Or maybe because I already used up my 20%. Or there's priority in tzedakah. I want to prioritize, have my order of tzedakah. Maybe that's in it. So we'll see. You don't necessarily have to give everybody that sticks out their hand. Even though that's the halach. That's the ikar of tzedakah. And that's what they point out, that in terms of that's the uniqueness. The twofold aspect of tzedakah. We ask what tzedakah is, an asay and a los asay. It's a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Really, that's focusing on the two aspects of tzedakah. Because we know, let's say you have $1,000 to give to tzedakah. Should I give it $1,000 at one time to one person or to one institute? Or should I give $100 10 times? What's better? Yeah, why? Right, so on one end, you could say I'm giving $1,000 to one is you have more of an impact. If you water down what you're giving, so maybe you have less of an impact. Or you... Exactly. So that's what So the Rambam, so everyone likes quoting the Rambam. Hakol lefi rov maisa, that the Rambam writes, like you're saying, that better to give less to more, because each time you give tzedakah, it has an impact on you. And therefore, so according to the Rambam, he says it's better to give small gifts. Others say it's better to give a big gift. What's the issue? What's in the Kudas HaMachlokes? It depends what we're looking at. It depends. Maybe it's better off for the person I'm giving to if I gave him $1,000. You're right. So then maybe if it depends on the person I'm giving to, then maybe it's better for him. But if it's what's best for me, each time I give is better. And that's what the Pasuk says, V'nasenu. The Pasuk by in the Mishkan. V'nasenu, it's spelled Vav Nun Tav Nun Vav. It's spelled the same, it means to give. But it's equal on both sides. To tell me that you're gaining more than you're getting when you give. And that's what the two aspects of tzedakah is. That not only is tzedakah to have an impact on others, obviously by helping them out, but it has to be v'nasenu, it has to be also an asay, it has to be a positive impact on you. And that's the dual aspect of tzedakah, of a one in opening your hand, at the same time not closing it and not closing your heart. So these are some of the details of tzedakah. So we talked about tzedakahs and aseh and alos aseh and the Amar Benel, that we're obligated to give tzedakah because since everyone's obligated to help one another, that's what we're obligated in tzedakah. That's the reciprocal din of Benam HaFavero. There's another din of imitating God. Just like God helps out, so too we want to help people indeed. That's also a biblical law. And then the rabbis made a rabbinic law to give tzedakah even to a guy, a non-Jew, who's an idol worshiper. And we said, you only have to give a shlish shekel, and that's the meaning of Sheni v'chamishi, a Monday and Thursday, giving a penny every day. We had the different sheets about what's the right to what's the rabbana, and that's the issue whether we could still test God today, whether it's a din of mice or not, because could you test God by health or wealth? And then we pointed out the steer in the Rambam, whether you could give more than 20% or not, depending. If you actually have poor people in front of you who need it, then you can, assuming you can afford it. But if not, it's usher. And then we pointed out the dual nature of tzedakah, that the nashtana, not only is the mitzvah to try to rectify the situation, but it's also to have an impact on you. As the Rambam writes, Hakol lefi rov ha-maisa. That's why once you give many small amounts of tzedakah, but each time you give tzedakah, you're affected by the act. Very good. Any questions?